Issues, Vermont Voices. Equal time with Anthony Polina and you.
You poisoned my sweet water. You cut down my green trees. The food you fed my children was the cause of that disease. My world is slowly falling down, and the air's not good to breathe. And those of us who care enough, we have to do something. What you gonna do about me?
Hello and welcome to Equal Time Radio. I am Amy Schellenberger and I'm hosting the show today. Thanks for joining us. I want to remind listeners here at the top of the show to check out the Equal Time Radio Facebook page. And when you go there, please like the page and invite your friends to like it too. That's a great way to find out about upcoming shows and find podcasts of the shows that you missed or you want to listen to again. Also, for those who are listening to the news at the top of the hour with Ann Galloway, the joint fiscal hearing today in the State House, I believe, is in Room 10, and the public hearing tomorrow, Tuesday, is at 3:45, also in Room 10. And if you're looking for that information, it's actually on the Joint Fiscal Committee website, not the State House website. It's a little bit hard to find. You want to go to the Joint Fiscal Office website and click on the rescission hearings link. Today we're going to be talking about Newport, Vermont. Newport was once a thriving town where farm families came to shop and be entertained. Over the years, the town has seen economic challenges. Lately, the area has been contemplating change as a potentially major economic development effort moves forward. The Newport Community Justice Center and the Newport City Renaissance Corporation partnered about a year ago to begin a monthly community commons conversation to strengthen the town's sense of community and provide a safe space to talk about the changes that might occur. Today, we're going to be talking with Barbara Morrow and Patricia Sears about how this project was conceived and some of the things that have happened as a result. Barbara and Trish, thanks for joining me here in the studio today. Let's start with Barbara. How about you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the Community Justice Center in Newport?
So, Barbara Morrow, I'm the director of the Community Justice Center in Newport. We are one of several Community Justice Center efforts across the state, and we work closely with the courts and with law enforcement and a variety of other partners on issues of alternative justice and restorative approaches to issues in the community.
Thanks, Barbara. And I forgot to remind listeners that if you want to join us today, ask a question or make a comment, you can call 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. Trish Sears, introduce yourself and tell us how you're involved with the Community Commons Project.
Thank you, Amy. It's good to be here with you today. We appreciate the time and being able to share what Barbara and I and the community has worked on. I am Patricia Sears, and I am the co-owner, founder of Necktie Consulting, and for 7 years served as the executive director of Newport City Renaissance Corporation, which was advancing, or still is advancing, the economic and community development of downtown Newport. And my association with the Community Commons effort started with us, Newport City Renaissance, contacting Orton Family Foundation, and they came in and did a full day Community Matters workshop with us. From that, with Barbara participating and using her leadership, you know, we looked at, you know, this is, would be important to continue to be able to connect and enhance the heart and soul of Newport, in certainly in light of all the dramatic changes that are being talked about is coming to downtown Newport. So this was started, you know, with Barbara, and I'll let her talk about how it got started from there.
Before we go there, I just want to let listeners know, if you're doing some multimedia today and you want to check these folks out, the Community Justice Center in Newport is at kingdomjustice.org, and Necktie Consulting is at nekticonsulting.com. Barbara, tell us how you got started on this project.
So the Community Justice Center is a highly collaborative, partnering organization, and the strength that we bring to our work is a restorative approach to all of our activities. In conversations with Trish, she actually brought up the idea that a monthly, regular, dependable conversation about what was going on in the Newport area might be very helpful to help us keep up with the change, get accurate information, and soothe and calm the nerves of any small town that's going through such incredible change as Newport was and is. And we wanted to use a restorative approach because we wanted people to feel that they could say difficult things and be heard, and be in a safe place to say it. And I have to say that it certainly has outstripped my dreams for how well this came off. We immediately sought support from the Vermont Community Foundation, who recognized the power of this unusual way of working through community conversations and provided us with a grant to carry us through our first year, and that was the really important piece.
So these meetings are the third Wednesday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Gateway Center in Newport, just in case anybody wants to check them out if you're up there in the kingdom, or even if you're not. And again, if you want to check out the websites, it's kingdomjustice.org for the Community Justice Center and neckdyeconsulting.com for Trish Sears. So you talked a little bit, you both mentioned you did this because there's this big change happening in Newport. Can you talk a little bit, maybe Trish, this is your bailiwick, I think, talk a little bit about what is that big change and why might people need to talk about it?
I think a lot of people in Vermont are familiar with the what's called the Northeast Kingdom Economic Development Initiative, and this is being spearheaded by Bill Stanger and his partner Ariel Quiros of Jay Peak. And so what's happening specifically with Newport, so off the mountain, is this is the beginning of the projects in the community. That includes the ANC Bio Vermont, which is taking over the Bogner factory and will be a brand new building that's about four stories high, and that will be working on biotech projects. There's also a big transformation happening at the airport, extending that runway, adding a distribution center, a secure warehouse, and as well as some light aircraft manufacturing. So, and we expect about possibly 50 jobs, new jobs up there. At the ANC Bio, they're projecting about 400 new jobs. Downtown Newport is a whole block, a whole city block will be transformed. It will be taken down and then put back up to have busy retail on the bottom floor, the street level, and then have offices as well as long-term, short-term rooms for rent, for lodging. And then there's the still waiting for negotiation with the there's another building on Main Street that Bill Stanger is going to be buying. And then right now it's still in flux as far as the waterfront resort, which was scheduled to be developed in the strip mall that's on on Lake Memphis Magog in downtown. So these are bringing jobs, they're bringing traffic, they're bringing all kinds of new pressures that Newport hasn't experienced in several decades. So as Barbara pointed out, is we understood that we wanted to start letting the air out of the balloon, if you will, before it popped. So it was, how do we help, you know, have that safe space for conversation, bring in some experts. We had Bill Stanger about a year ago come in to give an update and presentation. The community was had a very big turnout. They were very candid in their questions, and that was a very fruitful exchange. And then we've had other experts come in with transportation, public safety, and healthcare and housing and that kind of thing.
So I want to remind listeners, we're talking with Barbara Morrow from the Community Justice Center in Newport and Trish Sears with NCDI Consulting up in the Northeast Kingdom. And we're talking about the community commons meetings that are happening the third Wednesday of every month from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Gateway Center in Newport. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. So Barbara, a little while ago you were talking about when you started these meetings, you wanted to really take a restorative approach. And I know there's a concept in the community justice model called the circle of support and accountability. I've heard you talk about that in the past. And I know that trust and responsibility are a big part of that model. Could you just talk about what that model is a little bit and how you've applied it to these meetings?
Well, when you take a restorative approach, it's a very process mindful approach that seeks to give equal talking time and equal consideration to everyone who's participating. So in terms of the way that we conduct community commons, I mean, you know, you could say, well, it's just a bunch of people getting together talking, but it's much more careful and thoughtful than that. And it's a situation in which we provide support for people to make their statements or make their concerns known, and yet we're all accountable for what we've said. When we started, one of the goals that we were looking at was how to model civic discourse in a time of volatility. Not everyone is sure about how they feel about change, or they're not even sure about what kind of change is coming and how it will affect them. We also wanted to explore difficult issues, and we also wanted to give people space to partner with other people in the room, because the action that arises from this conversation really goes on outside of the circle. The circle is designed to bring things out into the open, and people can see across the room or next to them who they could be partnering with to create action outside of that circle back out into the community. So one of the things that's very important is we do all sit in a circle, and we don't have panels, we don't have presentations. And that actually is not an easy thing to accomplish. Most people, especially if they have had power or they are experienced, are used to presentations, and they stand and they want to look at charts or they want to sit at a head table. It takes considerable tenacity sometimes to resist that. So, for example, when we talked about security and safety in the community, and we had a great, great turnout from our friends in law enforcement at several levels, they made a tremendous effort to come, and we really appreciate that. When they came into the room, the first thing we said to them was, guess what, you can't sit together. And that was a little surprising to them. They had to sit around the circle, dispersed around the rest of the community, and it created and inspired a different conversation, a different quality of conversation. Also, the many times that we've had Trish facilitate, or you may know Amy Schellenberger, she's facilitated, there's a lot of expertise in understanding how to make people feel heard, and if they do want to go on a bit about something, how to make them feel acknowledged and yet still allow time for others around the group to respond or go on with the conversation. So it's very skillfully done, and I think it's worked out incredibly well.
So the meetings have been going on for about a year, and I think you've had a range of amount of people coming, but about how many people are coming each month?
Well, we've had a high of something like 85 or 90, and I don't think we've ever had less than 15. We're averaging maybe 35 or 40 now, which for a region like the Newport, Greater Newport area, month after month is quite exciting, actually.
Trish, did you want to add something?
I did. I wanted to. One of the very satisfying things that comes out of this is the conversations that happen after. And so we have literally had to start closing the meeting even earlier than we used to because there's so much conversation going on afterwards. And that's exactly what we want. We want people to be connecting with each other, discovering new partnerships, and, you know, how can they work together. And that is probably one of the more exciting successes that we've had. And we keep in mind that Newport, not unlike some, I don't know how many in the state, does not have an annual town meeting. So this is another reason to, you know, keep this advancing the community commons, because people now have opportunity to meet other people in the community over different issues that are important to them and have been incredibly, again, candid and, you know, and motivated to work with each other.
So both of you have mentioned these sort of things that happen outside of the meetings. Can you give us an example of one or two of the things that have resulted directly because of these meetings that are happening?
I can give you a couple. I sat down and wrote down some of the partnerships and projects that have come out of Community Commons, and there are several things, but one of the things that I'm most pleased about is the creation of a bad weather shelter for homeless individuals. Right now, there really isn't anything up in Newport. I mean, homelessness and precarious housing is an incredibly difficult issue in the Northeast Kingdom. But out of conversations with Community Commons, there was an issue identified and discussion about it, and people took it up. And then they stuck with it outside, and then they came back to the next meeting and reported what they had found out. And as a result, there's great headway being made on creating such a shelter for foul weather. Another one is the drug take-back efforts that we're about to launch in Newport. We had a lot of conversation about the opiate effects that are taking over the state and what we could do about it. And we're not finished with that conversation yet, but we do have two projects that have come out of that are going to get some legs, and that's the drug take-back program and a recovery center. Newport is the only Department of Health district that does not have a recovery center. There's one in each of the other Vermont Department of Health districts in the state, except for us.
So those are some pretty big results out of a couple-hour conversation once a month. For listeners who might be interested, there's a pretty great article on the Newport Dispatch website, newportdispatch.com, called Addressing Homelessness and Housing Issues in Newport. It's dated February 21st, 2014, and that talks about the meeting, the Community Commons meeting, where this issue was discussed. If you wanted to get a read from the reporter who was there about how that conversation went, and then you can think about Barbara's story about what happened afterwards. What jumps out at me is when I read the article, it kind of sounded like people were sort of stymied. You know, they had this conversation, they identified a problem, and a couple of people in the meeting said, you know, there are these barriers to doing this. And the way the article ends, that there's no sort of next step. There might be a later article that I've missed, but I think that there's something about maybe the habit of coming together month by month that helped the folks figure out the solution. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I do, and to add to that, one of the strengths is that the people who participate are so diverse. They bring a diversity of thought, background, resources. So it's not just the state of Vermont talking to other state of Vermont people. It's not just private nonprofits talking about isolating and owning this particular issue. We have faith-based people there. We have law enforcement people. We have social workers. We have people that walk up and down the streets in their everyday lives and notice that there's an issue. And when you bring all those minds together, things start to cook in a different way. And because everybody has equal access to power in the group, everybody can feel as though they own the problem and can, and that their contributions are worthy to be heard and acted upon. As Trish pointed out, a lot of the conversation happens at the end of the meeting when we're standing around, because we have laid such a rich
foundation,
right, for that those discussions where two or three people are getting together and they're talking. So that's one of the things that makes surprising solutions come out. And and as you said, there is follow-up. Somebody's always asking, so what happened? Mm-hmm. What happened with that? Are we going to talk about that some more? Because they keep us honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Trish has facilitated several of these things, so she can probably say something about what it's like when to facilitate and be kept honest about that kind of stuff.
Well, it certainly is. Part of it is we, both Barbara and I, in the different kind of work that we do, really have always had a fundamental confidence in the power of community to advance positive change. And so it's that kind of spirit, if you will, that is in the room to do that. And sometimes it is difficult. You know, we've dealt with some very difficult, sensitive, emotional issues, certainly in the opiate range most recently. So we had people giving, you know, personal testimony of what, you know, this problem has done to their family, to themselves and others. And so sometimes, again, it's hard to, you want to allow that expression to happen, but it can't take over the conversation, because more often than not, it's again having that safety of having someone, you know, feel like they have been heard, but that we have other people who now, having listened to them, have said, oh, that reminds me, and oh, I should share with you, or I know where a resource is, I know where a meeting is, and that kind of thing. And so it's pretty draining by the time both Barbara and I leave, certainly, and travel back another 40 minutes back to where we live. It's an emotional evening, and it's, you're on a high, but it's also there's a lot of energy, and so it's great to have, you know, that kind of thing, which isn't always recognized in our community, and certainly having the media there, and we've been fortunate to have media, different kinds of media there off and on to amplify what's happening, and so then other people start showing up and connecting with others and say, were you there? What did you think? And I think I want to be part of that.
So, listeners, we're talking with Barbara Morrow and Patricia Sears, and we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hey, guys, Digby came home from puppy day camp with a flyer that said all three One Stop Country pet supply stores are going to have an ice cream social on Friday, August 22nd. He's really excited to go.
Mason, you should definitely take the little guy because he'll be able to choose his own flavor of frozen yogurt, like bacon and peanut butter or pumpkin.
Woohoo! Two of my favorite things, peanut butter and bacon. That's yummy in my tummy. Hey, Guinness, we should all go. What do you say? Huh? It'll be fun, right? Let's all go.
Cool beans. Bring your pets for a frosty treat to have either at the store or purchase a pint to take home. Don't worry, Mom. Since you're driving, they'll give you a scoop of people ice cream as well.
Whoa! I love this store. I do.
Treat your four-legged pets to a cool, tasty treat during the ice cream social Friday, August 22nd from 2 to 5 p.m. at all One Stop Country Pet Supply stores, Putney Road, Brattleboro, and the Twin City Plaza in Barrie, Vermont, and Emerald Street in the center of Keene. Open every day.
Do you have difficulty reading, writing, or doing basic math? You're not alone. About 35,000 adults and teens in Vermont have low literacy skills. Each year, hundreds of these people decide to build their academic skills by enrolling at Central Vermont Adult Basic Education. CVABE provides free, confidential instruction for adults and teens living in Washington, Orange, and Lamoille counties. Some are learning basic reading or math for the first time. Others are gaining education to earn a high school credential or to secure a job. Many residents are reaching new goals through literacy. It all begins by taking the first step. To learn more about CVABE's free education programs, call 802-476-4588. CVABE proudly thanks Vermont's banks and credit unions for their leadership in our Investing in Literacy campaign.
Hello and welcome back to Equal Time Radio. I'm Amy Schollenberger and I'm your host today. We're talking with Barbara Morrow from the Newport Community Justice Center and Trish Sears from Necktie Consulting in Lowell. We're talking about the community commons meetings that are happening every third Wednesday in Newport from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Gateway Center. And they've been happening for about a year. And we've been talking about how the project came to be, some of the things that have happened as a result. I'd like to ask now, the two of you, what have been some of the challenges that have come up in having these meetings? Anything from, you know, scheduling to whatever. Trish has been facilitating, Barbara's been organizing in the background. What are the challenges?
Thank you, Amy. The challenges, you know, remain, well, one of the things that, you know, being able to be a recipient, Newport Community Justice Center, of being a recipient of a generous grant from the Vermont Community Foundation, because we needed it for rent money for to pay the city of Newport to use the gateway. So we have not been able to, you know, we've been, it's important to have this community commons in a place that is accessible to all ages as well as abilities, and to be in a relaxing situation. You know, it's right on the water, you know, it's very calming, unless you have a thunderstorm, which has happened, to be looking out onto Lake Memphremagog. And it's just really been able to develop a nice atmosphere there. Other challenges are, you know, coming up or addressing. Sometimes there's multiple requests as far as, you know, on issues. So how do we decide with the group on which is the priority for this upcoming month, and then who needs to be there? And so it's been evolving constantly, but I think, you know, there's different challenges, and there's definitely a certain amount of cynicism from some people, some businesses. And yet the wonderful thing is the power of, you know, especially with the media amplifying what happens and that things actually do happen in these meetings, that has been helpful, certainly with some of the cynics.
Yeah, I would have to say that certainly underwriting is a challenge, because one of the important things about what we do is we do push to get the word out. So often, groups that are well-intentioned, and that includes nonprofits that I'm associated with and government groups that try to pull together meetings like this, neglect or don't fully support the turnout activities that get people excited about coming in the first place. And we've, thanks to the Vermont Community Foundation, been able to spread the word through various media to get that turnout and to keep this process right front and center with people. And then they do begin to tell each other and bring their friends as well. It's not trying to think about really any kind of meeting where people would be trying to converse obnoxiously or trying to or get out of control sometimes, like as you see at some municipal meetings or something like that. And I really can only remember one incident. And because of the way that we work our meetings, people just wrote it out and we all gained something from it. And it just was not an issue at all. And I know I'm getting a little note from Trish about potlucks. There is a potluck associated with each meeting. It's an optional potluck because I'm always too tired to bring anything, so it's optional for me and people like me. But the good people of Newport that come often bring something to eat for people, and that just transpired. That's nothing that we asked for or dreamed up or as part of the process. It's something that happily grew out of just enjoying being with your neighbors and other people in the community. But it's kind of worked itself into a part of the process now. Mm-hmm. Because breaking bread together has some real meaning. Plus, it keeps people energized.
And actually, it was one of the first successes we had, mm-hmm. and from the community, because I had brought cookies to the first one, and they complained because they said they were hungry. And so I said, all right, what do you want to do about that? And or Amy asked them, and so then they said, well, you know, let's do potluck. And it was like, that's your first decision as a community mm-hmm. to do. And it's, you know, especially, you know, during the summer, it becomes almost gourmet mm-hmm. because you have different people trying to outdo each other, and they're bringing in, you know, the bounties from their gardens, and it's been quite fun. And it really is a wonderful icebreaker when we have guests, like public safety officials or whoever, who, you know, as Barbara was saying, you know, have been introduced to a new way of, quote, participating by not sitting with each other, sitting in a circle, and they're like, oh, I've never done this. How is this going to work? Then they're up at the table, and they're breaking bread and going, this is delicious, and they sit down. They're much more relaxed mm-hmm. and just really doing some active listening and active participation.
I think you'll find it almost always comes down to food in the end, really.
Especially in Vermont,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
You can never have too much potluck in this state, as far as I'm concerned. So just to remind listeners, we're talking with Barbara Morrow and Trish Sears about the Community Commons meetings that are happening every third Wednesday up in Newport, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Gateway Center. So you touched on this next question that I'm going to ask you, but I'm curious about any real surprises that have come out of this meeting. If you have a story about either just a moment where you saw something happen and you were thinking, wow, I never thought that would happen, or maybe something that happened out in the community as a direct or an indirect result that might have surprised you or even surprised someone else in the community. Maybe you heard a story from a public official or something.
Well, I think when we had our first meeting with public safety officials, and we're fortunate that Keith Flynn is from the kingdom, so he was very helpful in turning out a lot of the law enforcement agencies. And so we were sitting and we were, you know, getting started, and it was the chief of police for Newport City who jumped to his feet and said, look, we've got a problem here, and it's, you know, it's a drug problem. And so we did have the mayor and I think a city council member as well as the community, and it was just so refreshing, you know, to have somebody who we didn't think, you know, would say that out loud. And he said, you do, you know, you have options as, you know, voters in Newport to, you know, vote and speak your mind, you know, on what's important to you. But let me tell you from our perspective what we're seeing. It was eye-opening. And it gave permission to the other law enforcement people who were sitting around to be able to say, yes, I agree with Seth, and, you know, this is how, also what we're seeing and what we're seeing as far as suggestions. So I think, you know, that was certainly a big aha for us. I mentioned earlier when we had Bill Stenger down, people were very candid with him. What about, you know, how do we get in touch with you? We know you're busy. Is there somebody else we can get in touch with? Because we don't always hear back from you. And he said, no, you know, call me and email me. And there was a palatable sigh because they want Bill to succeed, and they want to be able to help participate, you know, as community members in this. And so they were looking for, like, a revelation that he could say, well, somebody on my staff, you know, can do this or that. And then we did have, you know, one instance of bad behavior, which Barbara alluded to before. And what was so, again, for me, refreshing, you know, to understand it, was that the, you know, the group, you know, just took a sigh, you know, the person, you know, exited, and, you know, the group was asked, you know, how do you want to deal with this, and do you want to talk about it, and they were like, just keep going. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it was a wonderful power of the heart and soul of the community.
I'd like to say about this drug issue as well, and the courage that the police chief had in talking about it openly in a group like this, is that, you know, there are a lot of all Vermont communities have this drug problem. And what is so inspiring to me through Community Commons is that Newport is really trying to get a hold on it before it's too late, and is speaking so frankly about the issue that exists and who can pitch in. I mean, there are some people who say, well, we don't want Newport to have to own this entire problem. Why does it always have to be Newport? Blah, blah, blah. But the focus gets back to, well, what can you do? What can everybody bring to the table to do their part in this issue? What can the faith-based folks do? What can the municipality do? If you don't want to have this or that, what will you be able to do? And those kinds of things come out of not just a one-shot discussion, which sometimes if you have a big forum, you have a goal in mind and you drive to get there and you sew it all up tight and you leave. But when you keep coming back to it, week after week in some way, and there's an expectation that you're going to follow up or you're going to be ready to talk about it, interesting things happen. People let down their guard and say, how can we work together? Even if we're of differing political parties or perspectives or desires for the city or the surrounding area, we can still work together on a bunch of stuff. And it was Duncan Kilmartin who very early in one of our meetings just, you know, threw off, as sometimes he wisely can, saying, you know, the more time we spend together, the more we trust each other. Mm-hmm. And that's a really important thing for a place like the greater Newport area.
That reminds me that I'm aware that your mayor and your members of your city council have been pretty regularly attending the meetings, and that's kind of unusual, I think, for community officials to voluntarily both just spend their time because they're not really getting paid for it, and also open themselves up to vulnerability in that way, where they're going to a meeting and they have the same amount of power as everyone else. And being able to talk openly with people in the meeting. And is there anything you want to talk about that, how that's working out? How's it going for the officials as well as the community members?
Well, I hope they're finding it as exciting and enjoyable as we are, and thought-provoking. I mean, we certainly appreciate them attending. And I can't think of a single meeting where there wasn't at least one municipal official there, and often it's the mayor, Paul Manette, or it's the president of the council. I also can't think of one instance in which anyone has really brought up anything or spoken harshly about what the council's work has done. I mean, people will ask questions and they get answers. And sometimes maybe the answers make us thrilled to death and maybe some of us not so thrilled, but you have the answer there and you respect the person who said it, even if you might follow up with another question or... It's been a very, it's just been very helpful to have them there, and I hope that they're getting as much out of it as we are.
One thing that we have heard, you know, certainly verbalized from different community, city council members, you know, after meetings is, I can't believe how much I learned. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. And then they're starting relationships they never had before, mm-hmm. hopefully turning them into partnerships that, again, you know, bring some positive change. But that happens more often than not, mm-hmm. is that we have a city council member who just stands there and says, thank you for this. You know, I learned so much.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of listeners who don't live in Newport. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to start something up like this in their town. What would your advice be? How could you go about doing something like this in your own town? Maybe you already have an annual town meeting, maybe you don't. What are some of the key things you need to get together in order to make sure it works?
We have been contacted by a couple of people who are interested in using a similar approach. And right off the bat, I say to them, it's in your best interest to insist on adhering to an equal process. And that means if you want to have people come in and do presentations and go on for 10 or 15 minutes, or if you want to have people sit in a panel and talk to your audience, even if you have question and answer, you're talking about a different process. So, there's just some certain elements that are very important, and that is that everyone gets a chance to speak, even if it's just saying, here's who I am and this is why I'm here tonight. That is an incredibly powerful thing, believe it or not. And to have patience. There's been times when I've been intimidated because we would have powerful people come in and I get tongue-tied or I get awed by power. And thankfully, I have some facilitators who coach me and say, you know, Barbara, your right to speak and know is as valid as theirs is to say. You really have to pay attention to those elements that seem simple but are very important. Do you want to chime in here, facilitator?
I think it's, you know, just really think about what Barbara just said. Those are critically important points. And the power of partnerships. So to have, you know, a organization or two, hopefully there is, you know, some partnership opportunities with the municipality, whether it's space or participation. Certainly be open to other businesses if they want to help underwrite, you know, whether it's, you know, the rental of the room or advertising or that kind of thing and getting the word out. But if that's what it is. And, you know, you really have to be open and you have to be committed. And you have to have tenacity because it isn't easy. And people will say you're crazy. And you just, you know, we've been able to stick with it for over a year. And it continues. People are, they look forward to it. They're hungry for it. And they want to know what else we can be talking about. And then, as Barbara said, you know, we've got some great success stories of action and results and impact happening because of these conversations. And it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And it's worth all the investment of the time and everything else in it. And as, you know, underline what Barbara said as well, as far as patience, because if you're open to that kind of energy, you don't always need a lot of patience. It'll surprise you, mm-hmm. the power that happens. And that even if it's, you know, planting petunias in the neighborhood because it changes something, or starting a community garden. It's, you know, those kind of things, especially when they come from the community members, and they're dedicated to making it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you asked me about surprises, and I actually surprised myself. Not very long ago, we were actually having, it was one of our drug discussions, and we had a very lively participant who was obviously directly opposite me on some political scales. And some words seeped into that conversation, like those people, them, and that kind of thing. And I could feel the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because I'm so liberal sometimes I can see myself coming around the corner. But, you know, you kind of had to go with it, because she had her right to speak. And instead of closing down, I had to listen. And it was really, it got around and turned into something really incredible in terms of conversation, because other people fed information back to her, and it went back and forth in a very calm way. And in the end, I said, gosh, I hope you come again. This was, you just added so much to the conversation tonight, and she was absolutely herself. She absolutely just said what was on her mind in the way that she knew how, and it really turned into something amazing. And so she taught me a lot about, and she came back, and she was wildly enthusiastic. Yeah. She just taught me a lot, and I'm actually very grateful for that conversation. Yeah.
So you both talked about being patient and sticking with it, and you've been doing this for over a year now, and you have to keep paying for the rental space and all the stuff that goes with it. How long do you think you'll keep going? Is this something you want Newport to have forever?
Well, our original intention was for 2 years. We have run out of our original funding and are kind of pegging along for a little bit, and we are looking for some additional funds to keep going. I would really love to go for another year or another 10 months at least, because that was our commitment. So I'm hoping that we'll find some grants or a donor that would like to help us out with it.
So just in case there's a donor listening who would like to support this effort, what would be the best way for them to connect with it?
They should call me at the Community Justice Center. We are a 501c3, so we are a nonprofit. And the number is 802-487-9327. That's 487-9327.
You can also check out kingdomjustice.org. Trish, do you want to add to the... So my question was, how long do you think you want to keep doing this?
Thank you. I think it's worthy to keep it going, and under, you know, it can certainly change under different stewardship or whatever. I think the community, there's certainly a core group of the community that really, you know, sees the positive impact in this. And because the changes, the timing of the changes, the big changes, are slowing down a little bit, you know, that tension, you know, still is rising and, you know, falling a little bit, but rising again. And, you know, we see this is definitely worthy of keeping that, you know, that connection going. Because, you know, one of the things is that we believe in, again, going back to heart and soul, but the core community. So despite what happens, those big things that happen, the community has gotten closer together now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in light of any other changes unforeseen that we don't know, I think we've got a core group that is dedicated and saying, okay, we can deal with that, mm-hmm. Where they didn't have the connection before. So the power in those, that connection is huge.
Mm-hmm. It's... From a community justice point of view, we love the idea of creating resiliency, and this is a definite resiliency creator in a community, and Vermont communities need to think about their resiliency and how they can create it and maintain it on an individual basis, on an organizational basis, and on a community basis.
So just to think about that for a minute, because the resiliency is sort of a hot buzzword these days. There's a lot of communities looking to build resiliency, in some cases in response to disasters, in some cases just because it's a good thing to do. So I just want to circle back one more time to the question about how to actually do it. And one of the things I heard you saying is that you have to actually plan for a long time horizon, and it has to be kind of a regular thing that happens. You know, how important has it been to always be on the third Wednesday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Gateway Center, and how important has it been for people to know that you're going to keep doing this for at least 2 years?
Well, thank you for that, Amy, because that's another demonstration of the commitment of the community, because there have been competing events and that kind of thing happening on the same third Wednesday that would bring, you know, some people to go to that competing event. But it is something that Barbara and I feel so strongly about, is that commitment to that third Wednesday and that commitment to that 6 to 8 p.m. And we've had, you know, when you talked about challenges before, we've had several, and sometimes in competing, you know, for the space that we use. And so Barbara's had to really practice her diplomatic skills and, you know, and be effective in standing the ground and saying, this is important. We had it reserved. This is important to the community, so that there is confidence in some consistency, because the rest of the month is kind of like wild, and say, okay, every third Wednesday I know where I can go, you know, and talk about what's on my mind, because we do have, you know, that opportunity. We may be talking about an issue, but we always have opportunity to speak about something else in the closing.
You know, and I believe that it was Trish Sears who taught me that one of the things that is a really resiliency builder in the face of change is something that is consistent.
That's true. I think we've all experienced that. A little bit of safety and chaos is a good thing. So we just have a few minutes left. I want to give you each a chance for any closing remarks, anything you want to say, anything you want people to hear about this project, or maybe words of encouragement for folks across the state, or anything you just want to say about Newport.
I'm going to let Barbara have the closing remark, because she's the power here. So I just want to reemphasize, if you will, the power your community has, and the power of relationships that turn into partnerships, and taking good care of those relationships and those partnerships, so that you're open to opportunity when it presents itself, and then you say, how can we, you know, leverage that and take advantage of it and make it so that it's real. And I think, you know, another big thing that, you know, has been a real positive from this experience in Community Commons is our commitment to transparency. And sometimes that makes one or more of us, you know, uncomfortable, but that transparency, again, gives the safety and the commitment. And you can do it, and you can connect with Barbara at the Community Justice Center and learn more.
Oh, thank you, Trish Boy. That really echoes my sentiments as well. And I would like to just say that about Newport, the greater Newport area is an amazing, amazing community that has had some difficult times. But, boy, you couldn't ask for a greater community to be working with. Mm-hmm. Just amazing folks.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Barbara and Trish, for joining us today, and thank you to the listeners. Please remember to visit the Equal Time Facebook page and click that like button. Next week, I'll be taking a break, so you'll be listening to music most likely Monday at 1 o'clock. But on August 25th, we'll be talking about tasers in Vermont and what has been happening with regard to a statewide policy for those tasers. We'll be joined by Alan Gilbert from the Vermont ACLU, and hopefully a few others as well. Thank you both.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.